I suspect you all know what the title of our lesson is for today, Peace and Harmony. Another lesson that I managed to, at least I find this one to be valuable in my mind, I hope you find so as well, as we talk about topics associated with peace and harmony. Today is being at peace. Well, I'll follow my slides in my introduction, right? Make everything go smoother. We've talked about peace with ourselves, right? We can be conflicted. We have in times of our life, we realize there's things that's not as they need to be or supposed to be, or know that there's better, right? Even choosing to go to college and learn adds conflict to our life. It's a little bit of a disruption. There's a process there, and it adds a burden in our life. And so we realize there's all sorts of conflict and personally with ourselves. And some of that, you know, realizing sometimes we can avoid conflict by just saying, I don't need a change. And I can't conceive of change in my mind. That I cannot conceive that I even need to change, that I should change. The ostrich, right? We're always told the ostrich stuck his head in the sand. There is that perspective in our world, and we find those who prefer just to go somewhere where they're approved and not have to deal with change that's necessary. And that happens. That happens in religion. Happens all the time. There's lots of religious bodies out there that under this pretense that you don't need to change. You just accept you as you are. You don't have to give up that drug addiction. I've heard somebody say that in the name of Christianity. You don't have to give these things up. You don't have to change. And we can do that, and we can protect our egos that way, right? I don't need to change. I don't want to change. And so we can avoid conflict in our lives by doing that, right? We can just ignore it, pretend it don't exist, push it away, go places where we're accepted. Not that there's not value in encouraging one another, right? We realize that. But in reality is, and I think we make the point often, we realize the high standard Jesus set. He set a very high bar. And as we talk about these behaviors, and we talk about these attitudes behind behaviors, we realize they get pretty deep pretty quick. And we can close our eyes to it. We can remain naive to it. Or we can study about it, learn about it, and accept that there's some conflict to be associated. And so that's self-conflict, and that's good. We talked too a little bit about conflict within self that we don't need. There's some of that we need to deal with, learn to deal with, to learn to handle. There's ways of doing that, and we realize that. And in our second lesson, we talked about just peace among others, our relationships. As much as within our ability, be peaceful. And some of it all, of all these, really, to me, is about reality is we don't, most people don't like conflict. There are some in the world who thrive off of conflict, but in reality, most of us don't like conflict. We even avoid conflict, right? We will. And so it's a matter of making room for conflict that matters, right? We can overwhelm ourselves with conflict that doesn't matter and has no purpose and no real help for us in the long term. And we realize that, right? We all realize we have a bank account on when it comes to conflict, and we only consume so much of it, and then we're done with it, right? We check out, and so we understand that. So that's the first lesson. And today, I want to deal with peace and harmony with God, because really this is where it comes down to where it starts for us, doesn't it? If we have peace and harmony with God, the rest of it will start falling into place, at least has the ability to fall into place. I'll add that, because I'm not naive to think that just because we're right with God, everything else is great, because it's not always great and wonderful. But it has to start here, doesn't it? It has to start with peace and harmony to God. And sometimes, and even in our religious world, as we talk about Christianity, and those who claim to be Christians and followers of Christ, this idea of God being at enmity with us or with mankind is not understood, not recognized, and not sure the religious world realizes that God, we are adverse to God, at times in our life. We can be. We're capable of it. In our world today, we're just all accepting, and God loves you like you are. God is love, and we whitewash that, and everything's fine and hunky-dory. But it's not hunky-dory. I'm sure that's in the English dictionary. We all use that word, hunky-dory. That's a separate word from the pulpit, right? But James 4:4. I have my Bible turned there. We're just going to read this as an introductory passage, and then we'll look at our scripture reading. But in James 4:4, it says, and we've studied this 2 years ago now, I suppose, but James calls out the adulteresses. You adulteresses. Don't you know? Of course, remember, he's talking to these Christians who are bickering and fighting, the love of preeminence, that the context in James, where they wanted superiority. People who weren't qualified to be teachers, their tongues set the world on fire, and they caused strife and contention, right? So you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility, the New American Standard says, is hostility towards God. Friendship with the world, hostile towards God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Your brothers and sisters, well, I think we're not sure we realize, but we can be enemies of God and call ourselves Christians. We can bear the name. And that's what James is talking about here. He's writing to Christians. Your friendship with the world makes you enemies of God. I rewrote this a little bit. The King James is the friendship with the world is enmity or hostility towards God. Whosoever desires to be a friend of the world, not just will be, but desires to be, just a desire. I want to be aligned with the world. You make yourself, by desiring it even, you make yourself the enemy of God. And there it is, enmity between us and God, between mankind and God. And that's where we start. And so just a little bit on these words that I've kind of really talked through already. And so God and the world are opposed to each other, and they're rivals. And the idea of the enemy of God, hating God or being hated of God, either way, that's pretty powerful words, isn't it? That's very strong words. That really puts mankind in his place. And so we can hide from God. We can pretend we don't need a change. But this is true Bible doctrine. We can be adverse to God. We can be enemies of God, and we can be hated. We can hate God, or we can be hated of God, and that's the reality of it. And that's kind of where we start. And so now, the idea of reconciliation, being in peace and harmony with God, required reconciliation. At one time, at least in our life, were opposed to God. We're enemies of God. We're at enmity with God. There was a separation between us. And we're going to look at three passages this morning that bring this out. Each one of them makes a little bit different point, but in reality, they all say the same thing. We're reconciled. We are restored to favor with God. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 21, if you're turning to that, I'm going to read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 21. For the love of Christ constrains us or controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all were dead. You hear that? One died for all, therefore we were all dead. He died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made himself, who knew no sin, to be sin on your behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Very powerful passage Paul brings out here, and it talks about his ministry of reconciliation. his teaching and preaching about being reconciled to God. And so I went through here and I did a previous state, current state, a future state. So in previous state, it brings out we were dead. All were dead. If one died for all, then all were dead. Logically concluding that we were all dead or at enmity with God because of our trespass, because of our sin, because of our mistakes in life, because we have failed Him. We have failed to live up to His design and His expectation. That puts us, that makes us dead. That makes us at enmity with God. But now we are new creatures. Now we are reconciled. We are not imputed trespass. In other words, we've been redeemed or we've been atoned. It's been paid for on our behalf. On our behalf. Therefore, we are indebted. Right? And the first line I put there was, we are indebted because of these things. Because of this great sacrifice, we are now indebted. And that's the point Paul makes here. They need to change. Even these Corinthians needed change still yet. They haven't lived up to the name of Christ yet. Yeah, they're working on it. Yeah, they're Christians. They have the name. They haven't mastered the behavior. They haven't mastered the attitude yet. And so there's this idea. How did this happen? By Jesus' death. And that gets back to this indebtedness. Yeah, we were this. We've been put in this place. How did that happen? Because of Jesus. Because of that great sacrifice. So that cost leaves us indebted to our Savior and our God. Of course, our indebted, it goes beyond that. We're His creature. We're created by Him. That in and of itself makes us indebted, even more so because of Jesus' death. So if one died for all, then all were dead, the King James says. The next passage, a similar context here, saying similar things in Romans 5. 1 through 11. Let's look at that passage. Romans 5, 1 through 11. Again, written to Christians. Those who wore the name of Christ, who bore the name of Christ, who claimed the name of Christ. Notice here in Romans 5, 1 through 11. So verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's our word for the month, peace. Being justified, we now have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Let's skip down to verse 6 in this case. For while we were helpless and at the correct time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone might dare to die. But God demonstrated His love towards us and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we will be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if we were enemies, for while we were enemies, there's our word again, we were enemies. We are now reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we have been saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. They were enemies, sinners, transgressors. And again, in our society, I don't know that we recognize our status with God when we fail Him. And that's Paul here has made that case to the Corinthians and to the Romans. You were sinners, and while you were sinners, the sacrifice was made before you ever were converted, the sacrifice was prepared ahead of time. You were enemies. Now you're justified. You're at peace. You're blessed with grace. Rejoicing in hope. We have hope now. Reconcile and atone. All those terms come to mind as we look through this section of Scripture here in Romans 5. Again, a lot of the same things over again. How? Again, because of Jesus died. That leads us back to this indebtedness part. But we can be and were enemies of God. Again, making that point. That can happen. That did happen. And now again, in Colossians. As Paul wrote to the Colossian letter. To the Christians in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 1. We will take a moment to look at this passage. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 20 through 23. again, we'll see a little bit different language, but a lot of the same things here, Colossians 1, 20 through 23. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say whether things are on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly aliens and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed to all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Again, this idea of being enmity, they were immigrants or aliens, not a part of the kingdom, alienated, separated. Not just, and again, it's not just that they were separated from God or we were separated from God. We were animosity towards God. We were enemies of God. We were adverse towards God. Both of those conditions are previous states. Now, again, reconciled. And this one adds, we're holy and blameless now, without reproach. How? Blood of Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus died. And so this idea of being in harmony with God, the reality was we were, and all creation was in a bad spot. There was enmity between us and God. And again, our world and our religious world can't conceive of that, can't use those words in reference to God, but that is the case. It's adverse to God, and because of our sin and transgression, because we did not meet his expectations, we did not live up to his standards, we failed him. That separated us from God. And so the sin and transgressions, the carnal desires of the flesh, we talk about those often versus the spiritual living. So we were in a bad spot, but now God made his work. And I like the way we word this. We have God's work that he's done for us, and we have our part in fulfilling God's purpose for us. So God's work, he made peace. He did his part. How did he do his part? He sent Jesus. He did his part before we even made an attempt to reconcile to him. He thought of this ahead of time, even. That he's going to do this. So we've been reconciled, atoned, redeemed. It's been offered. The debt has been offered to be paid, right? So that debt being offered enables our atonement. We find that this is not done. God did his part, but it's not the end of reconciliation. It's not the end of doing away with this enmity between God. We have a responsibility. We are accountable. We have a part to play. We have something we must do. We are indebted is another word that we've used. We are indebted. And as we look through this, harmonizing with God. We need to harmonize with God. God's not going to harmonize with us, right? God is the standard bearer. He is the standard we want to achieve to. He has no harmonizing to do. He set the bar here and said, this is the place. He asks us and begs us even, come. Receive this gift, this gracious gift of reconciliation. It's offered for you. Do you want it? If you do, you're going to be justified by your faith, by our acts of faith. By the act of faith, we receive justification. By our faith in believing and knowing that the sacrifice was made, we know that debt don't exist. I can't open a bank ledger and say, yeah, my sin debt is recovered. I can't see those things. I can't materially put my hand on that. But we have faith in knowing God that he's done that. He's done that based on what he's instructed us, right? Be reconciled to God. Even the Corinthians, he instructed them, you Christians, be reconciled to God. So there we see a group of people who had the name, but they still weren't there yet. They were still underdeveloped. And certainly we can be in this case. And the indebtedness there, that we should not, the King James says, live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for us and rose again. We realize that price that was paid, the debt that was paid, the value of that. We owe and are indebted to Christ for what he did. And then in Colossians 1, he makes note, continue in the faith. Again, indebted. What is our part in harmonizing with God? Right? We need to be justified. Through our faith, we are justified. He promises us that, and we can believe in that. We may, as Christians, need to be reconciled to God because we have separated ourselves from God. We can do that. We need to do that. We need to be instructed to do that. And the Corinthians were instructed. As Christians, you still need to be reconciled to God. We should not live to ourselves. And continuing in the faith, steadfast in the hope of that the gospel gives, a hope of forgiveness, the hope of a better, the godly life here, that we can achieve that, we're working to achieve that, and certainly the hope of eternity in heaven, right? And so being in step with God, being in sync with God, synchronized with God, we need to be in harmonized with God. It's a work that we need to engage in as Christians. So lesson for us, be reconciled. Everybody needs it, everybody. If one died for all, then all were dead. We read that, right? In 2 Corinthians. If one died for all, then all were dead. We all need reconciliation. It is not just handed out without us coming to the table. It's not without our faith. So we're educating and encouraging the idea of continuous improvement, leading back to our first lesson on this about conflict with ourselves. Let's continuously grow and develop our faith and our knowledge. And so being reconciled to God is something we need to do. The danger in some of the attitudes that we can hide or avoid these changes. I'll just go somewhere where they accept me as I am. Right? I'm going to go where I can be who I am. And what I mean by that is, not our individuality there, but that I choose to live a life opposed to God, and I'm going to continue doing that, and I'm not going to change. That happens all the time. I'm going to go somewhere where I'm accepted, where I can continue to live my immoral life, and they'll accept me. And churches do that in the name of religion. In the name of Christ, they do these things. But that's destructive, that's dangerous, that's enmity with God. That is enmity with God. That is not in peace and harmony. Or even being at enmity with change in our own lives. That we don't like change, we don't want change. I want to be an ostrich, I'm going to bury my head in the sand. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that, or I'm going to ignore it. Sometimes in life we can make the choices, I just don't want to change. And we can hide from it. And we don't want to do that. We want to be accepting to change. Change at the right pace for us, because we're all different. We're all at different places. But making the appropriate change, we ought to embrace that. We ought to embrace that, and I think we do. We think we do that. Being steadfast in the faith, unmovable. We are discipling Jesus. We're not discipling just some religious organization or some hierarchy or some prophet out there, some man who claims to be a prophet. We are discipling Jesus, and Jesus says these are the way things are to be. And we believe that, we trust that, we desire his attitude, we try to achieve his attitude, trying to become who Jesus was in our own lives, because we're discipling him, we're following him, we believe he is the Messiah, and he has the words of leads to life. And I'm going to disciple that, and you're going to disciple that, and that's why we're here. Right, so steadfast in the faith. My ultimate goal is to be a disciple of Jesus and follow him. Being reconciled, I threw these passages together, and you're welcome to go look and read those as well on your own if you have your lesson notes. The blessings of harmonizing with Jesus or with God. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. In other words, he sees us. And he sees us in a good way, right? If we're reconciled to God, if we're in harmony with God, he looks out for us. He's watching for us. Just like we watch out for our kids. We're watching out for their best interest. We want to make sure they don't run in front of cars. These are concepts that apply to God's work with us. And his ears are open to their prayers. God listens to us, right? If we are in harmony with God, if we have peace and harmony with God, we have an advocate, we have an ally, we have our Almighty God worried and concerned. I say worried. He is aware of us and what we're doing, and that should build faith. And I have to say, I know going forward, I have a series of lessons on faith, and we're going to talk about that some more, of reasons to have faith in God and reasons to have faith as we walk out the door into the world. You know, how do we approach the things in the world, and how do we approach problems in this life? and looking at the faith that we have in God and what He can do for us. So I'm going to expand upon that in the future, and it might even be next month. I don't know that. And then in 1 John 5, this is the confidence we have in Him. This is the faith we have. We know this. If we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. God's aware. If we're at peace and harmony with God, we are blessed. We are blessed. Unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, over and beyond anything we can conceive, but beyond our comprehension. And as we've studied that passage, and since then, my mind just keeps going back. We think this about God, and maybe we've been taught this about God, but I think we all have to admit, we don't know everything God does. And we won't ever know everything God does, because He can do beyond what we can even conceive of, beyond what we can even think of. He is capable of. And so I always remind myself about that, about Him. Philippians 4, we reference this often, the peace of God which is beyond understanding. The peace of God which is beyond understanding. Again, back to this idea that we can know everything about God. We've been told you can't know everything about God. So trust in Him. Believe in Him. Have faith in Him. Again, this blessing. This passage in Psalm, it was just an eye-opener to me as we talk about God. God, the righteous Lord, loves righteousness. Remember, talking about being peace and harmony with God. The righteous Lord loves righteousness, and His countenance beholds the upright, the just, those who are following Him, those who are at peace with God, those who are harmonizing with God. He hears, He sees, He knows, and He does beyond anything we can understand. So again, I am going to tie those into lessons on faith. I think they'll be beneficial. I expect to be beneficial for me. I hope they are for you as well. As we do these deep dives, I hope you find them productive. In this case, there's just circumstances in the world. When we hear people talk about, I'm going to go to this church because I'm accepted as I am, okay, not... You know, we're talking about someone who is in obvious violation of God's standards, but they want to be in a church, and they'll go, and you can go and find a church that does anything, that permits and turns a blind eye and accepts anything in this world, and I mean anything. But they're not peace and harmony with God, and I know that's where we all want to be. We're reconciled to God, and therefore we have blessings of being reconciled to God. But in reality is realizing, yes, there is a place we can be where we're not in peace and harmony with God. And what that means is we're at enmity with God. We're at odds with God. We're against God. God is against us. And not to say that God doesn't want us to make right, but we can be separated from God. We can be separated from His peace and harmony. We can be at enmity, is the words that was used, with God. And we don't want to be there. And that is a place and a condition that truly exists. Have you been reconciled to God? And have you followed the pattern that Jesus instructed and His apostles instructed? We want you to do that, first of all, if you've not. And if you have, just like as He wrote to the Christians, still yet, be reconciled. We realize the high bar that Jesus set. And I hope we recognize the weight of the Christian life that we're called to live. It's more than just giving up the vices of the world. It's about being spiritually minded and being of the same attitude as Christ, taking on the attitudes that Christ showed and epitomized in His life. So there's a high standard there, and we all want to be there if we can. If you feel like you need the prayers of the saints to help in being reconciled to God in this walk of life, we want to know about that. We always offer an invitation. So if any way you wish to respond to the gospel's call this morning, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?